everybody. Welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. How is everybody doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. I'm well. I'm well.
All right, little bit of housekeeping. So we will be watching and reviewing Judas and the Black Messiah. That episode is going to be coming out on next Thursday, the 17th. So get your popcorn, your HBO Max login, or your friend's HBO Max login. Get somebody HBO Max login and watch it before the 17th so you can join us in our review. All right. It is time for Trending Combos. Woo! Who wants to go first?
Well, you know, I'll start it off. I don't mind starting off today. My first bit of news is Dr. Fauci announced if you are fully vaccinated, you no longer have to quarantine. So, you know, I know people have their different perspectives on being vaccinated or not. You know, I don't know, maybe that'll influence your decision. But you no longer have to quarantine if you get both doses of either the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine.
Okay? Ooh, people can't wait till 365 days from now when I can get one.
Yeah, people not quarantining now. And so, wait, but I read something about that, but it was saying you don't have to quarantine if you've been exposed to someone who's positive, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, because the vaccine is supposed to fight it off. And I was just
but they were saying that you should still be taking the normal precautions that everyone else is taking.
Yes, yes. You shouldn't be just out there, I'm vaccinated.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's not a free-for-all. That just means if you find out you've come in contact with someone, you should still be good and not have to quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's true. My next piece of news is, and I didn't know this, that Mark Cuban has directed the Dallas Mavericks to stop playing the national anthem before games. Did y'all see that?
I did.
And I was like, huh? I was like, is this recent? Is this new? It's not new. Yeah, I didn't know that this was a thing until today.
Yeah, I think it's just now recently getting attention, but it's since the beginning of preseason, I think.
Yeah, and people have been trying to, you know, ask Mark Cuban his perspective on why this is happening, but they haven't gotten a response. So I'm interested. I mean, I'm sure it's because of all the racial injustice that's happening.
Well, what I read said that so the NBA has a policy that you have to stand for the national anthem. So this was kind of in response to that.
Mm.
If you're going to make me stand, then okay, I'm just not going to play it.
Gotcha. Okay, you know, I got a little respect for Mark Cuban.
I did read that and I was like, wow, that's extreme.
Yeah, I was like, we ain't gonna play it at all. Like,
wow, that's okay. Well,
you know, now he would have substituted that for the Negro national anthem.
Oh, people would be burning down the arena if you did that. Like, girl, bye.
I'm just saying. Y'all, I saw this and I was like, I don't understand Trump supporters. But did you guys see that a majority of the people arrested in the Capitol riot, about 60% of those people, had a history of financial trouble?
Oh, no, that's not what I thought you was going to say.
What you thought I was going to say?
I was reading something that was talking about the percentage of them that didn't even vote in the election.
Girl, I did not see that.
I did. I read something about that. I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was just of the people who I think ended up getting arrested, and it was a large number of them that literally didn't even vote in the election. And it's like, so you ready to trespass and break into a building and storm the Senate floor because of the
but
results?
But you could go to
the
election, a little poll.
You didn't even vote in.
You gonna do all that to keep them in office, but you ain't gonna go check a box. Okay. All right.
So you didn't even play a role. See, that don't make no sense. But y'all, these people, got foreclosures, eviction notice, bankruptcies. They owe taxes. They got tax liens on their houses. And y'all voting for Trump? Y'all riding? Y'all ain't got no money. That shocked me, because I was just like, if you are looking at the policies that were put in place by the Trump administration, now there are some that benefited people who don't make as much money, but a lot of those did not benefit a majority of those people who ride at the Capitol. Hmm. Just my two cents. But y'all, that's all I got.
Well, I can go since we talked.
You have a great segue.
Okay, so I wanted to just briefly talk about the impeachment trial that's underway, not to talk about, you know, the terrible Trump lawyers and the rambling and the incoherent arguments and the actual Trump lawyer saying, you know, the other side did a really good job. Their presentation was really put together. And because I saw their presentation being really put together, I kind of changed mine on the fly. I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is the video that they showed of Officer Eugene Goodman.
Man, I was like, that man, the real MVP for real. I thought I was real. Go ahead,
100%. Like, it's first from like when they first started breaking in, he's running past, and Mitt Romney is about to like pass him, and he like quickly signals to Mitt Romney, like, go another direction. And Mitt, like, oh, right. And then he like, oh, and then it's like there's other videos and other perspectives of him like running up the stairs and leading the crowd in the other direction, and just like I just have such utmost respect for that man. Like, he put his life in harm's way to save these people, and I just, you know, he is getting, you know, a lot of flowers, but we talked a little bit about him being, I guess, a candidate or being talked about getting the congressional gold medal. I don't think that's come to fruition, but he definitely should get it. That man, like, wow. But what were you gonna say about Andrea?
No, that wasn't one of my stories, but I just watched it, and I was absolutely seconding what you were saying, because when I saw that video, because I think because that video that they played it's at a different angle. It's from was it from one of the writers?
No, it's in the, you talking about when he ran for Mitt Romney or going back up the stairs?
No, that was security camera, but yeah. Like after that, when they showed like the crowd actually coming towards him, not the angle we've seen before from behind him.
I think that was like some confiscated video. I think that was,
I don't know if it was confiscated or if it was one of the videos where there were press people who went in with the writers to document what was happening.
I didn't know which one it was.
But just in hearing the things that they were saying.
Oh, yeah.
And like saying to him, the other angle, I never heard that before. Did the other angle have audio?
No.
I don't know.
At least not that I had heard. And yeah, and they played that full on for them in the hearings, in these impeachment trials or whatever. And it's just like, all kinds of just painful stuff being said, obviously, all kinds of N-words being lobbed, all kinds of everything being lobbed at this man. And man, give him his medal. Come on now. Retire that man and do whatever he needs to do. I just a newfound respect. Especially the audio. I didn't even mention the audio, especially the audio for sure. Wanted to talk about the Super Bowl. What is it, 55? What a disaster. All right, next I want to talk about, no, I'm just kidding. The game was terrible. It was just really, really bad. And like, come on, y'all. Like, I'm not even going to talk about Mahomes' line. Like, what were y'all doing? That offensive line was such Mahomes was running for his life the entire game. the entire game. Well, most of the game.
I don't think it was the offensive line. Like, in the beginning, it was penalties. It was the defense. It was holding call after holding call. Then it's like, once they got it together, the offensive line said, oh, I thought we was taking a nap for the rest of the game. I didn't know I still needed to play. Like, it's like, as soon as the ball was snapped, I mean, it's like that man was sprinting because they was coming at him like a freight train.
Yeah, as soon as he got the ball.
Tom Brady... He done got them the niggas some steroids, because it was too many shots of them being literally tackled and carrying them. He was like, you want to ride? Because I'm about to go get this nigga. Do you want to ride? Jump on my back and let's go. And sack that man. How are they powering through one tackle, two tackles, and still getting to him? Man. But you know, that's neither here nor there. The man won and he got his whatever seventh little ring or whatever. You know, before we had, you know, Jasmine Sullivan, who should have been by herself but was singing with some white man that I don't know his name, something about a church or something.
You're in her church.
Yes, him. He shouldn't have been there. And then her. Oh my gosh, her did such an amazing job. Jasmine did an amazing job too, but I just feel like her shine was a little
dampened a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, you know. Mm-hmm. What y'all think about them performances?
I haven't seen them.
Oh, you still haven't seen them?
I haven't. I forgot to watch them.
You gotta watch them.
Yeah.
They were amazing. Her did great. Her guitar solo, and Jasmine killed it. Giving homage to Whitney, who did it the best. But Jasmine did a great job.
She did. And I feel like that's why they put her up there with it, because they won't know another Whitney moment. We can't have the two best national anthem performances coming from these two. You know what I'm saying? That's what they said. So they had to dampen her little shine a little bit. That's my two thoughts. Okay, moving on. I want to talk about Gorilla Glue Girl. If you don't know who Gorilla Glue Girl is, she went viral on TikTok, I think is where it started. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For, you know, like when you want a real slick pony, you put like some, you know, some styling gel, and I don't know what specific product she was using. She says it, and
it's like got to be the wig glue.
Got to be, yep. And she ran out of it, so she thought, hey, this thing looks like it's an adhesive, so let me try it. Well, turns out it was Gorilla Glue, like the strongest of the strongest adhesive known to man. So she sprays that in her head and has been trying to wash it out since, I don't know, she put it in, and it's been over a month at this point and it hadn't gone nowhere. Well, she posted a video on TikTok showing her attempting to wash it out and nothing happened. She's been to the ER. They send her home with some acetone and some hope and a prayer. She also started a GoFundMe page to raise for medical expenses. She's since I looked, it was nearly 20,000. She might be over that point at this point. One thing I will say, she's been getting quite a bit of support from, you know, on this journey. She's been sharing, you know, updates and things like that. So currently she's going to LA to meet with a surgeon. I think he's a plastic surgeon. Mm-hmm. And he says that he thinks he can use some medical grade glue remover to get it out. So, you know, we'll see, and hopefully she's going to be all right and her scalp going to be okay. But
that's one of the things that the cosmetic surgeon was going to address, was actually like scalp repair.
Mm.
If, you know, she, not if, she going to need it. So for what she needs, yeah.
No, she's the Washington Post now, though.
Yeah. She's
in like newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say, so I went on her Instagram And I saw, you know, some stuff. She verified too. And I was looking at her post or whatever, and she's been posting a lot of these updates. You know, like when people want to post a quote or something and they post something with a background and like the words on it or whatever, and then there's a caption in addition to that. So I saw some of the updates. It was like, oh yeah, I'm traveling to LA. Please pray for traveling grace, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. And then she gave a little update, talk about folks be talking, y'all talking about me, y'all don't even know me, and but I'm so happy for all those who are supporting me. So I went and looked at some of them comments, and the comments had me dying. The comments were like, girl, if you don't post no picture, girl, we don't care about none of this. Where the picture at? Ain't nobody got time to be reading all that. Where the picture? Woo, they had me dying. So I thought that was hilarious. It's like folks want to support you, but they want to support you how they want to support you. They know.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. But for real, like I hope she all right, because I just, that's an unfortunate situation. Unfortunate situation.
It's also major advertisement for Gorilla.
Gorilla Glue.
One, because I didn't even know Gorilla Glue came in aerosol form.
I had no idea.
Like, she used it. And two, oh, I believe it works.
Absolutely.
Like, oh, it worked. If you want something that ain't gonna come unstuck, that's what you need to go do.
I remember that being part of the conversation when we first were talking about it amongst ourselves, was that like, why Gorilla Glue come in a little spray thing? That seemed a little dangerous. But then I learned this for like construction and like all this other stuff where like typically you would have on some gear or something to protect you from. I don't know, because I promise you I've never seen that in a store. Like, I did not know. The only thing I've seen it in, well, that's what one of our friends told me. So I don't know if she was 100% accurate on where.
See if I can buy some at Home Depot.
You probably can. But I think generally it's supposed to be used to adhere materials that are like wood and things like that. Not just like your everyday, you know, I need to glue my shoe together or something like that. You know what I mean? So, yeah, but I had no idea coming a little spray thing. That's crazy. You could buy it?
You absolutely can. And
wow.
It comes in various different types. There's the heavy duty, there's the waterproof patch and seal.
Oh, maybe that's what she got.
That's like, nah, well, I don't know that. Oh, that's a six pack. I was gonna say, this is $78. I'm sure she ain't go buy no $78 glue because she ain't had no hair glue. But no, that's a six pack. But yeah, there are a variety of options. There's this one white bottle. I can't see what the writing says. But yeah, apparently
That's crazy. I also want to talk about, have y'all seen or been at any capacity aware of the Free Britney movement? Have y'all seen that?
Yes.
Okay. So, Britney Spears, you know her. You love her. Or loved her maybe one time or another. But there's a documentary released about her on FX and Hulu. It's called Framing Britney. It was produced by the New York Times. And it is about her conservatorship that she is under the direction of her father. Basically, a conservatorship is just some type of arrangement where the conservator has control of you, possibly your finances and all of these things, and makes decisions for you. It's generally for people who are sick, ill, elderly. But yeah, so her dad has been, Jamie Spears, has been her conservator for 13 years. He has complete control over finances. In 2019, though, he stepped back from being a conservative over her person or whatever. But he still has control of her finances, but she now has a, like a corporation that is, I'm pretty sure it's a bank that is a co-conservator with him. Still 100% control of her finances. She can't like do nothing without permission. She can't even, she's been like, basically protesting and not working until her daddy gets removed, but she couldn't say no to contracts. She couldn't say no to not working. She couldn't do nothing, right? But in the days since the documentary has released, have y'all seen that the flames that Justin Timberlake been catching?
I see that part.
Woo child. Well, so that's mainly what I wanted to talk about was that, you know, at one point in time back in the early 2000s, Justin and Britney was together. And then they broke up and he claimed and put out there and basically took the narrative and said that she cheated on him. And, you know, y'all know that video, Cry Me a River or whatever, where it's the Britney lookalike and the Britney lookalike is supposedly cheating. So he goes and makes this video and cheats on her, whatever. Like, just crazy. But yeah, he's been catching heat because they took a bunch of clips of him basically like buying into this over sexualization of Britney, which that's another part of the documentary, was how like she was asked if she was a virgin on like an interview, like why would you, know what I'm saying, like ew. But yeah, so then he was on like I think Howard Stern or some radio show like that, and and they were just like, just tell me, Justin, did you fuck Britney Spears? And he's like, okay, I did it, basically. And just like, just completely like going over and profiting off of the sexualization of Britney. He was able to launch his career while she went down in the shithole. And then also it's interesting because it was released around the time that the Super Bowl came out. And there is always controversy around Justin Timberlake. He always catches a little bit of heat because of his situation with Janet Jackson. So people are like calling for Justin Timberlake to be canceled. What do y'all think about that? Ain't that crazy?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I don't think it's fair that a man and a woman can find themselves in the same sexual situation, yet the man is praised and then the woman is trashed and villainized. Kim Kardashian and Ray J are another example of that. And it's just like, No, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for any role that he or part he may have played in that. But also, I mean, how long ago was that?
And both of them.
It does not. Britney Spears did not go down because of that.
Yeah.
Like her situation currently, I do not believe it's because of that. Like,
it's not solely because of that, but a lot of, not because of Justin, but the sexualization aspect of her, yes, that definitely played a role for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and even if it played a role, like, that still was not the sole contributing factor. She had a lot of stuff going on. And so, I mean, I don't think that he is to blame for that in 2021. But, well, and also I know some people that's been canceled, Justin.
Yeah.
What did he do? I can't even remember. It was not about him cheating on Jessica Biel.
What did he do? I don't remember what he did.
He did something recently, within the past year, that people
were
like,
this is the pandemic?
Yes. It was some sort of cultural appropriation or something.
Oh, probably.
But yeah,
oh, he posted something on Ahmaud Arbery.
Oh,
he posted a photo. He posted a photo to his IG, and said, "What? Okay, all this says is if you." Apparently what he posted was, if you're not outraged, you should be. Justice for Ahmaud. But he turned off his comments for the post, to which comedian / actress Amanda Seals noted and was not pleased. And apparently she went out and said some, made a video or something. But he must have did something before that, though. Because surely that can't be it. That he turned off his comments.
What I'm seeing here is something about some tweets he made about Jesse Williams.
I see that too. He said Jesse Williams, though, # inspired, whatever. But then people just didn't like him because it's they're posting on top of that, like, oh, so this means you're gonna stop appropriating our music and culture and apologize to Janet.
Oh wow, people, we need to learn how to forgive of a culture. How long was the Super Bowl?
But I the thing is, though, is when they apparently, according to Justin, which who knows if it's true or not, he says that they made amends. But I feel like the backlash that Janet faced over that was so severe. She got disinvited from the Grammy. She got banned from the Super Bowl. And Justin was there. That's probably what it was when he got showed up there again. And then it probably was this whole backlash. And then every time he say something, now everybody's like, you shouldn't have been there. Blah, 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 blah. Janet got banned and she ain't been back since. And yada, yada, yada. And here you are and you ain't even said nothing. Yada, yada. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I can't imagine what else it is. But, yeah. But, yeah. One last thing. Really quick. So apparently, I'm sure Dre, you probably know about this, but so on TikTok, there's this whole millennial versus Gen Z thing going on. You seen that?
No.
Oh, well, apparently there are some things that millennials do that Gen Zers don't think is cool anymore. So I have a few of them, you know, the signs that the millennials are getting old. This is how you know you're a millennial. You wear skinny jeans. You do a side part. Instead of a middle part, because apparently Gen Zers like the middle part. Exactly. You use the laughing, crying emoji.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You show off or talk about your Hogwarts house. You've used the term girl boss. You're obsessed with coffee. You're obsessed with wine. This one is weird. You love bacon? So Gen Zers don't love bacon? I don't understand.
You're probably all health conscious.
Oh, you're probably right. They probably like a little carrot bacon or something. Exactly. You like rose gold? Apparently that's dated now.
I don't like rose gold, though. Wow.
You're obsessed with pizza, but you hate pineapples on pizza. You use the word adulting and you take selfies from a high angle.
Okay. That's oddly specific.
So there are all these videos on TikTok of Gen Zers basically acting these things out and saying that, you know, you millennials are old. And basically they're like, man, they shaming us for turning 30. It's like, sis, you gonna be here tomorrow. You better watch out.
Yeah.
It sneak up on you before you know it. You hear me? But yeah, I thought that was funny. That's all I got, though.
Okay. Well, I had a couple of things I had you all talked about. One short mention that I have. Have y'all seen that the Best Man is coming back?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah, a limited series. And the entire original cast is coming back. Yeah. All of them are coming back for a limited series on Peacock.
The girl who died, too?
Who died?
Monica Calhoun's character.
Calhoun's character. I can't think of her name, though. What's her name?
Mia.
Oh, yeah. No, Mia not coming back. No. Oh,
okay.
It ain't no bad.
Resurrected
unless it's a surprise, because she ain't in the press release. No, but like everybody else is coming back. Yeah. So wait. So did y'all like Best Man Holiday? Are y'all here for another Best Man edition, or y'all like just put it to bed already?
I feel like it can go to bed. To be honest. I didn't dislike Best Man Holiday. Maybe I just need to see what they're going to do. I just feel like there's only so much you can do with that storyline. What else?
I feel like that's not true. They're friends. Their lives evolve and change, so they have new stories.
Yeah, and they're old. Who cares? I don't care about any of them anymore. I kind of felt that way.
Gen Zers talking about millennial.
Exactly.
No, I just
care about your high-angle selfie and your skinny jeans.
That just ain't no story. I'm probably gonna go see, but you know.
I'm actually here for it. Yeah.
I got a little time. Best Man Holiday ended on a sad note, but you know, but I really like the original Best Man, and I like that they brought the cast back and they expanded their stories, married with children. I'm interested to see what they're gonna do with it.
Yeah, and I think as a show, because it will have the space to evolve, I think it has the potential to be good. If it was another movie, I probably would be like, oh, okay, who cares? Okay, well, Cookie's not here for that. Okay, so the other two things I have are kind of discussions. One goes back to the Super Bowl a little bit. So I was listening to commentary from this comedian on Instagram, and he was talking about what it takes to be great. And one of the athletes that he referenced was, what's his name?
Tom Brady.
Oh my gosh, I completely drew a blank. One of the athletes he was talking about was Tom Brady. But so basically what he was saying, you all know Conor McGregor, MMA fighter. So he recently, like very late January, had a fight with Dustin Poirier, and he got knocked out. Like there are images of him just like laid out, like he left on crutches, like he got knocked out. But Conor McGregor has completely changed his dynamic. You know, he was known for being super cocky, this major trash talker, this whole like, that was his entire persona. Well, he has shifted that because now he has children. He's saying he wants to, you know, be something that he's proud of being in front of his children. So at the press conference, he was all cheesing and smiling with the man, taking photos. He was not at all recognizable as the Conor McGregor that you may have known from the past. And so this comedian guy was saying that's why he got knocked out. Like, he was just talking about the underlying ruthlessness that Conor McGregor needed to be great. That persona played into who he was as an athlete. And so in relinquishing that, he was not himself. And then he talked about Michael Jordan and how Michael Jordan has talked about, he used to make up stories in his head of things his opponents did to him just so he would hate them in the game to play that much harder. People dislike Tom Brady because he's mean. He's not known for being this kind-hearted guy. Like, people hate him. But if that's what it takes for him to operate at the level that he needs to have more Super Bowl championships than any other team in NFL history, then that's what it takes. And he was talking about people understand that there is sacrifice necessary in order to be great, but sometimes that sacrifice has to be how you carry yourself or your persona or even the image that you put out there, even if it's in front of your kids. And so he was like, Conor McGregor needs to go back to being the a-hole he was before, and then he'll be winning again. So what do y'all think about that? Like, I've never really considered how much someone's persona may play into their physical game. But when you look at people who are great, not many of them are the Steph Currys.
What's his name? That's married to Mia.
Grant Hill.
Grant Hill. Like, not many Grant Hills out there. But yeah, I hadn't really thought about that, but I don't know. Maybe
does that make sense at all?
It does, but I just hate that. Like, I don't like that. You know, like, because even thinking about Conor McGregor, like, I feel like that is a very noble thing to have done, to want to tone yourself down because you got kids around and yada yada yada, but also if that's affecting your bottom line, then you affecting your kids at the same time, but you also don't want to be an asshole to your kids. Like, if that is I don't feel like that's something that you, because of how Connor was, I can't imagine that he just shut that off when he went home. Like, I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't imagine. I don't know.
Even when he fought Floyd Mayweather, they were like going at it before that. They were like going at it. It was everywhere. The second that fight was over, they were like besties. And it was just like, this is clearly not real for real. You know what I mean? Like, this is for the sport of it.
Maybe. I just can't imagine that. And maybe because I'm not familiar with him and Floyd Mayweather outside of whatever. But like, I just, from how Connor was being young, rich, and cocky, like, I can't see him cutting off his mean streak. And when he walk in the door, it's like, pick up little baby. And like, yeah, no, I just can't. I can't see that. And yeah, so I feel like that is a, and if it was, then I don't feel like I, like, personally, I feel like you can have a conversation with your kids to tell them, this is daddy at work, this is daddy at home, daddy is two separate people. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that could be a conversation, but if you take it at home, then that's another thing. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just difficult for me to see that and know that he just shut it off. Like, I can't imagine that. So I don't know, but I had never really thought about that at all. But yeah, most of the greats are jackasses for sure.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking about that, and I think that's a male perspective that's given out of male privilege. Because I think of Serena Williams. Like, women don't have the option. When we go home, we got to be mamas. Like,
but think about not athletes. Think about, like, great singers. Like, the greats who are women get labeled as divas, difficult, all of this stuff. Like, bitches, basically.
Like who?
Beyonce.
Whitney was a bitch. All like, think of Mariah.
I think that's also a cultural.
What? Mariah was a bitch. I named three right there. Mariah's still halfway a bitch.
What'd you say?
Nicki Minaj just had that reputation.
Yep.
I guess. But I thought of Serena. I thought of great athletes and great. And I think people just didn't know Nippy. I mean, I didn't know Nippy personally. You didn't.
I didn't know Nippy personally. They just ain't know her like I knew her. Right.
But she was America's sweetheart. She was America's sweetheart until, you know, she just a little crack. And, you know,
and that could have been a persona being put on that she shut off when we behind the scenes and we working, Whitney's a bitch. Like, but when we on stage and doing whatever, or, you know what I'm saying, like, in movies or film or whatever, yeah, she's the nice, sweet little girl. Like, I mean. Mm-hmm.
And that just further plays into the concept of having to put on a persona to achieve greatness. As a woman, that persona may be different, but you still got to put it on. You think Taylor Swift sweet
hell and innocent? No.
Absolutely hell no. Not.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I feel like women have to do that in order to sell. Men don't have to be nice in order to sell. So they don't have to put on and then be an asshole behind the scenes. They can be an asshole in real life. They can be an asshole in fake life. They can be an asshole yesterday. They can be an asshole tomorrow. And they still rich. Women don't have that same. We all got that same thing.
Well, we'll be canceled in a minute.
And even Serena, quite frankly, from our culture, in terms of Black people looking at her, yes, we see her like she's a businesswoman. She handles a business. She's this, she's that. But in the tennis world, Serena's a bitch too. Like, unsportsmanlike. Oh my God, she slammed her tennis racket. And then that whole conversation about all these white men, they be slamming their tennis rackets and yelling at the umpire and all this. Umpire, is that what they call? Whatever.
Line judge.
Yes. The judge that be sitting up in the chair. They be yelling at them too and don't know, they don't get no penalties, but Serena do anything. Serena is, in the tennis world, considered to be a bitch.
It's hard for me to understand that for Black people, though, because I feel like that's another layer. My perspective. Because you're Black. The way that I talk, the way that I respond is different than you, so it's aggressive. You're angry.
What's her name? Maria Sharap the Pova last... Sharapova. Yeah, her. She ain't nice.
Who was that?
Like the second greatest. Yeah. She white, though.
Oh, you know, I only look at Black people.
She be playing Serena a lot, though.
Okay, I've probably seen her in a few matches.
But yeah, I think yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an interesting perspective, though. Because, like, when you, I couldn't, all the great men, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they all crazy.
Okay, so the other thing I have is another kind of, so have you all seen the Fufu challenge? I'm the only person here on TikTok, right?
Yeah, I've seen it though.
Okay. So it's basically this challenge to go get fufu or like pound of yam and eat like a traditional, I was going to say Nigerian, but there are other countries that have different forms of it, whatever. And try it. It's just go buy this food and try it. So I had a conversation with our resident African, aka Kiko, about this because there was this post that she posted about, is it birria? Is that the like that taco meat everybody be talking about? Is that how you pronounce it? Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about. Wow, y'all really don't be on TikTok. Okay, anyway. It was this dish that had like some ramen noodles and some like birria, which is like this new, I don't know if it's new, but it's trendy right now, Mexican taco meat stuff. Okay. And it had fufu in the dish and like all of it was together. It looked appealing to me. I didn't see the noodles underneath, but the dish looked appealing. Kika was not here for it. She posted like, this is outrageous, oh, I saw right? That, yeah. So this sparked this whole conversation of, is it disrespectful? Like, what equates to disrespect when you don't like food that is like a specific cultural type food? Another instance of this just happened. Do y'all know who Asian Doll is?
Uh-huh, I saw that.
Yeah. He's a rapper. She posted, I think on Twitter, maybe on Instagram, I'm at this Indian restaurant. What should I order? Everything looks nasty. So, I mean, people came hard at her. Like, how dare you say that? Somebody was like, she got the audacity to name herself Asian, but slander Asian food. Make it make sense. You make it make sense. Mm-hmm. So, what constitutes slander of cultural food? Is that a thing? What is the line between my right to an opinion about whether I like something or don't like it versus people are completely upset? And I mean, this may be a difficult conversation for us to have because we're all African American. Kika is not here. But I mean, what is your perspective? Like, is there a line?
Yeah, that one about what should I order? Everything looks nasty. That's a little too far. Like, that's rude. And
okay. So in the conversation I had with Kika, I saw the challenge, the fufu challenge on TikTok. Mm-hmm. 95% of the videos I saw, people tried it. Some of them liked it. Some of it didn't like it. Kika is not on TikTok. Mm-hmm. She only saw the videos that made it to Instagram. Mm-hmm. Kika is African. She follows a lot of African people. So the videos she saw circulating were the extreme videos. Like she said, she saw one where somebody was like tossing it around and threw it up against the wall. And like people just saying that it was disgusting and all of this stuff. And that it was highly offensive. And I had a very hard time understanding that. Because I'm just like, I don't understand the offense. How am I offending a culture because I don't like your food?
Yeah, no, I don't think that that's offensive. I think you saying, what should I order? Everything looks nasty. To me, suggests you haven't even tried anything, right? Like, it would be different if you tried it and you're like, I don't really care for this, or this is not, even if you like are having like a complete meltdown, this disgusting, like, which I feel like you shouldn't do about anything, especially if you're like, but I don't think you can't say that something doesn't taste good to you. Like, I don't understand. Maybe the offense was the over the topness and the whatever, but like, just to say that you don't find something tasty, I do not think is offensive. Or
there was one video where a girl gagged. She literally gagged when she ate it.
Well, if that's if it legitimately was a gag, that's involuntary. So
I said it, having had it before, it has a very unique texture. If you are a texture person, you can weird you out.
Yeah.
I get that, but And it's just very interesting because Kika said that what I said was basically completely contrary to what all of the African people who follow her were saying in response to her story. And so it was a conversation of, is this a hypersensitivity or is there a line? What is that line? But even with the whole Asian doll situation, she didn't say the food was nasty. She said it looks nasty. She's asking, what should I try? This look nasty. What should I try? I can't.
Why you can't just leave that back? Like, I don't. If the question that you are ultimately trying to seek the answer to is what should I try, I don't know why you need to have the remaining part of everything looks nasty. If everything looked nasty, don't try nothing then. Like, I don't understand.
When you
say something like that, that does not suggest an openness to trying something to me. That suggests a very closed off everything. I don't know how you can say that in any type of way of suggesting that I want to try something. Like, I feel like those two sentences really don't go together to me. The word nasty is, I think that's a bit too far, personally.
I've definitely seen things that look nasty that I had to ask people for their opinions, and I actually tried it and it looked better and it tastes better than it looked.
But did you tell them it looked nasty? I think you can think things look nasty. I think communicating it is a different story, though.
I definitely said it don't look good.
That's not the same as saying it looks nasty. Nasty is a very specific word that I just, especially when you're talking about a food that is specific within a culture that you are not a part of, and you say that looks nasty, I feel like you can come up with a different phrase. That's kind of harsh, personally.
Interesting perspective.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's, for me, it's very gray because I don't know. I don't know. It's very gray. And it could just be because I don't have any type of food that I identify with so deeply on a cultural level that I would take such offense if people didn't like it or even spoke ill about it. Like,
well, even take it out of the cultural aspect. If somebody came to your house and you cook them food and they have not even tried it, and the first thing they say to you is that looks nasty, you wouldn't feel some type of way? Like, you worked, you cooked, you done brought it home, or not brought it home, you done brought it to the table, you done presented it to them, and that's the first thing out of their mouth. You wouldn't feel some type of way?
One, the first thing out of her mouth was, what should I eat? She inquired about what she should try. The first.
Okay, so what on this plate should I eat first? This all looks nasty.
Two, I think that's a different situation. If you are in my home and I have prepared food for you, that's a very personal experience.
It is, but I'm asking about the connotation of the word nasty. That is what I'm specifically talking about.
I agree that word is harsher than unappetizing or another word she could have used. Yes, I agree. That word is harsher. But at the same time, do I think that rises to the level that an entire people group should be offended because she said that?
But I think you not being able to connect with food the way that they do in terms of the specific thing, I think a lot of them connect to food the way that I just explained it to you. And this is, you are coming into my culture, you are experiencing my culture. This is a big part of my culture. And you are just like, everything looks nasty. I think it is a very similar experience to, I'm not saying that it's the exact same, but I'm saying with having a culture or a food that is defined by your culture or vice versa, I don't know which one, a culture defined by a specific food or whatever, that people are taking a part in and they use the word nasty. I feel like it is very, it might not be 100% the same, but I feel like it is very similar to you having prepared something for somebody and that be one of the first things that come out of their mouth. And I think that is pretty evident by the reaction that Kika is explaining that she's seeing from within the people who follow her, that she follows or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I have.
All right. We will see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.